Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 14 tonight. Chapter 4, and looking at verse 14 through 17. Tonight, as we continue in our series, how do I disciple? How do I help those that either need to be saved or right after salvation, or even if they've been saved for a while, they are needing help in their walk with God and in their spiritual growth? And we looked at the first week that we need, first of all, whenever we're dealing with people, whenever we're ministering, whenever we're teaching, whenever we're mentoring, whenever we're discipling, we need to have the mind of Christ and the attitude of Christ, to have the humility of Christ. We see in Philippians 3 that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a what? Servant. Jesus taught that whoever would be chiefest among you must be servant of all. He gave them the example of washing the disciples' feet. As I've given you an example, so you ought to wash one another's feet. This is exactly what we're to do in discipleship, and it's something that we need to make sure that we are submitted to God in this area. Now that we've laid the groundwork for discipleship, then we looked at the power of listening. Listening to care, listening to hear what the issues are, maybe the trouble they're having or the misunderstanding they have from the Word of God, or a hang up, perhaps even accepting Christ as Savior, to listen to them and listen to maybe their church background or their religious background, so that we may see the issue and God give wisdom to give us the answer from His Word. And then we looked at last week the power of prayer. Amen. Aren't we seeing that? The power of prayer. God is answering prayers left and right. Praise God for that, and pray that He continued to do so. We have not. Why? Because we ask not. But the power of prayer. And also praying that we would have the wisdom that we need. Because we find ourselves in situations at times like, Lord, I don't have the answer here. But God gives the answer. Whenever we go in and we're discipling, don't assume you know about what's going to happen in that situation. You can be changed. Those situations can change. Don't go in and think, well, I've got this under control. I have experience in this area. I've done this many times. I know exactly where this person's at. I've heard the problems. I know the answer. You still need the power of God. You still need to pray. And so tonight, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you could turn over there for 1 Corinthians 4. And we're going to stand one more time as you're physically able tonight. Verse 14 down through verse number 17 tonight. We need to wake up on Wednesday night sometimes. I know that's me. So if I'm doing this a lot, it's because I have dust on my eyes from mowing my lawn, okay? Because it seems that, man, it just rained and everything, but no matter what happens in Texas, you're going to have a dust bath if you ever mow your yard. But anyway, at least where I'm at. So 1 Corinthians 4, beginning verse number 14, and Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing tonight. Oh, Lord, that we would not just be teachers of your word, Lord, but that we would have that true and deep care and connection with people. And Lord, I pray that we would take upon their burdens upon ourselves and to bear the load as you command us to bear you one another's burdens, Lord. I pray your blessing this evening. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. I pray tonight that as we take the next step in discipleship, Lord, into doing, into guiding, into helping, Lord, that you would guide us to those that need our helping hand, that need your word, that we are your messengers, Lord. I pray your blessing tonight. Give me the words to say this evening. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The power of investing is what we're looking at tonight. So we're looking at step number 4 out of 6. We got 2 more weeks to go after this week in a 6-part series, How Do I Disciple? And as I've gone through this, none of these things are earth-shattering. But these are things we know, but sometimes we have trouble putting them all together into one specific direction, and that's what we're looking at tonight. And so we look at when we invest in someone. When we're discipling, we're investing. We're investing time. We're investing time, taking time for people, taking time to help people, taking time to encourage people. It takes effort, doesn't it? to go out of your way, to get out of your comfort zone, to take upon you the needs of other people and the burdens of other people. Many times like, well, I've got enough of my own troubles. I don't have time to take on anybody else's problems. However, this is not the mind of Christ. For Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. My burden is light. That we take off our burden, lay it upon him. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we, in Jesus saying, bear ye one another's burdens. This is what we need to be doing. It takes effort. If you're going to disciple someone, guess what? It takes some study. It takes some time with God. It takes some time in his word, especially when you have a question that you don't know the answer to. They have a question for you. They have a question like, well, I have this issue, I have this problem. What's the answer? Well, you better study the word of God and not give the answer according to your opinion, right? We don't live by the book of second opinions, but by the word of God, amen? For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so tonight, make sure we're studying that prayer. We looked at that. That takes investing of time and effort and study and prayer. All things by prayer. What do we need to learn? That men everyone ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. Oh, not to faint. Not to give up in that, because what happens when we get tired and we get faint? Many times our prayer life's the first thing to go, because prayers work. Need to make sure we're praying. So the result will be spiritual fruit and spiritual children, as Paul describes here. There's great power in investing, and it's something that we all can do. So tonight we're going to look at three areas where we need to be investing. So number one tonight is investing as a parent. Investing as a parent. The greatest ministry that we have is our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Right? Depending who you are here tonight, we have all three represented here tonight. A great ministry of investing. By the way, let's look over Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a moment, because as parents, it is a God-given responsibility that we are to invest God's word into their life, to train them up in the way that they should go, as Proverbs says. But in Deuteronomy 6, in verse 1 down through verse 9, it tells us this is a picture of discipleship. We think of discipleship as like, well, teaching other people. Well, if you want to know how to teach other people, teach your own children first. Experiment on them, right? If you don't have, well, I don't know what to teach them or how to teach. Well, get into the Word of God. Teach them what you're learning. What a great way to disciple your kids, what you're learning about. Get up in your family devotional time. So you know what? God's been teaching me this week about this. God's been teaching me to be patient. God's been teaching me to be kind. God's been teaching me to be gentle. God's been teaching me to have compassion. God's been teaching me. And what a great time to say, you know what, kids? This is how you can have that same thing. This is what God says in his word. Many times we're so stressed about, what am I going to have in family devotional time? If you have a walk with God, you'll have plenty to tell him. Amen. So if you have that time with God, verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, and this, here it is, that's first generation, and thy son, okay, your children, and what else, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. So three generations are mentioned there. Yourself, first generation, your children, second generation, and your grandchildren, third generation. So what does it say? You are responsible to teach your children and your grandchildren. So grandparents have a very important job to do, that you're investing as well. By the way, it really helps when mom and dad and grandma and grandpa say the same thing. Amen. Because isn't it amazing? Because mom and dad, you can be telling them and like, oh yeah, mom and dad. But then grandpa and grandpa tell them, wow, that's wonderful. I've never heard that before. Your mom and dad are like, we've been telling you for years. But praise God, they got it. Amen. When that happens, and guess what that happens? That happens when we hear a different voice say the same thing, we listen. And that's important. Grandparents have a great responsibility and a great opportunity here. Why? That thy days may be prolonged. Because the promise is, if you follow the commands of God, and we see here for Israel that they were to be kept in the land and protected. If they disobeyed and went after idols and went after, as the Bible says, whoring after other gods, that they would be kicked out of the land. And they were. And we see that what happened with the Babylonian and the Persian
captivities there. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. The promise given to Abraham, re-established with Isaac, and then after that, and with Jacob. We see that is exactly, each generation had that same promise reiterated and reconfirmed, and we see here that they were to be blessed and that this was the condition of the promise. Here is what I command you to do. Here are the boundaries, and this is what I would have you to do. Do it, and you'll be blessed. Christian life is really simple. And it's not just about a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, if I do these things, then I will do them. Is it possible to do the right thing the wrong way? Oh, yes. Is it possible to do the right thing, but your heart's not in it? Oh, isn't that what happened to Israel? That they did all the wonderful things, and they said they praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They're doing the right thing. They're saying the right things, but their heart's not there. Got to make sure our heart's there. Verse number 5, and thou shalt love, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, not just in your brain, in your heart, to live by them, to apply them, that this is the truth for me. Not just, well, if I want to get what I want, I've got to do this. No, believe in them and trust them. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy, what? Children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, at home, when thou walkest by the way, in the park, and when thou liest down at nighttime, and when thou risest up, when you get up and have breakfast in the morning, also in the way, whether that's Walmart. It ever had to Walmart be a teaching time for your kids? Kids, this is how you don't act. Right? See that kid? I've done it. See that kid over there? I've asked my children, they're 4 or 5, 6 years old. So what's going on with that? Oh, they're being bad. They're throwing a tantrum. They're hitting their mom and dad. And, you know, so what's wrong with that? It's like, oh, they're having a tantrum. They're having, is that what we're supposed to do? No. No. What will happen to us if we do? No. Right? No. So give negative examples. Give good examples. Okay? Give positive examples. Give good examples from the scriptures. And verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Verse 9, by the way, whenever you go to a Jewish home to this day, you'll see a Hebrew scripture written on the doorpost. They take that literally to this day. The responsibility, what is this given? To disciple them in the things of God. That's what this is, discipling our children. There are so many commands of Scripture. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Chapter 3, Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Acts 16:1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So we see this exactly is going on, this pattern, the teaching and instructing, and we see that Timothy's father wasn't saved, but his mother and grandmother were. And they taught him the scriptures. They laid the foundation so that when Paul came to Lystra and heard the gospel, Timothy got saved. And he trusted Christ and trusted the one true Messiah in his house. In 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Amazing. Because we look many times credit Timothy being in the ministry to Paul, it was really his mother and his grandmother that started it all off. Praise God for that. What a powerful impact we can have. And guess what? We look at that. He didn't come from a fully Christian home either. His father was lost. Like, well, only people that have a saved mom and dad are ever going to turn out for God. That's a wicked lie of the devil. You know what? That discourages a lot of people. They're like, well, I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the background to be a good Christian. It doesn't matter. You can be a first-generation Christian and still love and serve God. Amen. It helps when you have a mom and dad that love the Lord. It helps. But guess what? God is able to work with anything that's there. Praise God for that. Let's just trust him and teach the best that we know how. The church is to be an aid, not a replacement for parental discipleship. Church is to aid, not to replace. Because too many parents let the church replace discipleship. Well, I don't have to do it. They go to church. They go Sunday school. They go to Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know, they go Wednesday night. You know, maybe their church has a kids club. Oh, they go to kids club. They memorize all these verses. I don't need to teach them at home. They go to Christian school and they learn all those things. Sorry, parents. It's our job. And we cannot be replaced. We need to make sure that we're doing our responsibility, not giving it over to other people. These clearly teach that we need to be investing biblical knowledge into our children, teaching them to deal with the situations of life biblically, teaching them what traps to stay away from biblically, what devil, and guess what? We need to be practical for today. There's a lot of traps out there. By the way, we don't know all the traps because there's always new ones coming up, aren't there? Teaching them how to love the Lord. Teach them how to walk with God. Teach them how to have a time with God. Teach them how to pray. By the way, had to have not just have a time with God, but to have a time with God that results in a walk with God. Because you can have a walk, you can have a time with God that doesn't result in a walk. Because we can make it just like a chore, like brushing our teeth. Well, we read our Bible for the day, but it doesn't translate into anything. Why? Because there's a disconnect between here and here. Instead, what God speaks to you about, we live out. But if you're not doing that, parents, don't expect your children to do it. Don't expect your children to do it if you're not doing it. These are great opportunities. Don't let them pass you by. Don't get busy with life and forget about discipling your children. The second area we can look at investing is investing as a teacher. God has given the gift and responsibility to teach others to some in the church, whether it be in your Sunday school class, children's church, in the main service and preaching, okay? Even Brother Hammond's teaching us a new song tonight, teaching us a new way to worship and praise God. He's teaching us. Your position is not trivial. It's very important. Don't ever say, I'm just a teacher. Don't say, I'm just a Sunday school teacher. I'm just this. I'm just that. God is giving that responsibility. It's a great responsibility. You know, when we downgraded that in our mind, you know what we're really doing? We're downgrading our level of responsibility. We're downgrading, like, well, I'm just being humble. Well, also what we can do is we can downgrade our level of responsibility. Like, well, it's not that big a deal if I don't study as much as I need to. It's not really a big deal if I don't invest as like I need to. It's not a big deal if I go through the motions. It's not a big deal if I just am half here, half not there. Your position is not trivial. It's very important. You might be giving to these people, listen to this, whether it be kids or adults or whoever it is, you may be giving these people the only Bible truth they will ever hear. Remember that. Whether the kids in your classes, that's the only Bible they have ever heard and ever will hear in their life. Make it count. Make sure you have it all together. Their spiritual well-being depends on how much you want to invest in your lessons and what you want to teach them. Their spiritual walk depends on the example that you show them. Whoa, that's a big responsibility, isn't it? When we get that responsibility and when we look at that, when the knowledge we've been given, the responsibility we've been given, you know what that makes you do? Hit your knees a whole lot more often. And say, Lord, I am not capable, but Lord, you are able. Lord, what do you want me to show them? What do you want me to teach them? That drives us to the feet of God. Hebrews 13, 17, and 18, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. Now, verse 17, we know that verse, must give an account. As your pastor, I'll give an account of you when I get to heaven one day. I don't know how that's all going to work. To be honest, I'm a little nervous about that. I don't know how I'm going to remember everything, but I want, by the way, I want to get everybody an A+ when I get up there, okay? So, and give a good account. But what do we see here? I love verse 18. He says, obey them, have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And that's right. I'm big, I'm bad, I have power and authority. No, that's not what he's saying. Verse 18, what does he say? What does it say? Verse 18. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. Oh boy, we feel the pressure of having the responsibility of living a life out that's right. That living the responsibility of teaching them what's right. Yes, we have the position, but oh, pray for us because we need help. This is the Apostle Paul here. Or if you think it's Peter, whoever it is, I believe it was Paul that wrote Hebrews, okay? We've gone over this, so I'm just not going to belabor that. There's many indications. By the way, it's only in the last about 75 years that people have debated that. It's been settled for centuries, so I don't know why we have to debate it now. Anyway, recognizing the weight of the responsibility, we need God's strength and presence when we're teaching. In church, we're teaching our children. And then number three, investing as a mentor, Trying to finish up here so we get down to prayer tonight. Investing as a mentor. There are some who do not have parents who are saved. Okay, we run. What happens? Oh, I guess they're doomed, right? No, they need someone to help them. And that brings in someone that can be a mentor to them. When I talk about that, someone that can disciple them and teach them the things of God. And also many times you're a teacher in a class or you're on the bus route or wherever you're at. There are those that we invest in. This is usually what comes to mind when we hear discipling. We think of this mentorship, that we're helping somebody. We're bringing somebody along. We're thinking about that. That's usually what we think of. Especially those, can I say this, we need to be mentoring and bringing along those whom we have led to the Lord. That's very important. You've invested the time in praying into seeing them come to Christ. You've invested the time to teach them the Word of God. And just as Paul was the spiritual father of Timothy, we help bring others along in the faith. He said there'd be 10,000 teachers. There's a lot of teachers. You're teaching a lot, but you're not caring as much as you need to. You're not investing as much as you need to. There is another step you can take. And that is hard because here's where it becomes difficult because not everybody you mentor and disciple will make it. This is where it gets hard. Because when we are vulnerable and we're invested and we're caring, but the devil's real. The will of people is real. Rebelling against the things of God is real. And coming to a point, so you know what, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. I'm turning away. Or they get hurt, or they get injured, or the devil gets a hold of them, and then they get out of church because of sin. Whatever it is, you're going to lose some of them. And that's hard. And that hurts. And I don't want to be a part of that because I don't want to get hurt. And we have to fight against that. However, even though those things hurt, we still need to be investing in other people because it's Christ's command that we do so. We need to still care about people. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 and 15, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. What we show them when we are discipling somebody, what we show them by our life is very powerful. To show them what it is to live a life for God. What being a Christian looks like. Here it is. We point them to Jesus, but many times they're so immature in their faith, they don't have the ability to see all of that yet. All they see is you. All they see is your example, and they follow after you. But as they mature, you keep pointing them to Christ. What do you think Paul said? Be followers of me. The example, the testimony, and to look as I point you to Christ. Follow me. I am following Christ. And they're going to follow you, and you point them to Christ. And as they mature, they'll be able to start leading others in the same way. We need to be good followers before we can lead somebody. Be following the Lord. What we show them by our life is a powerful, powerful testimony. I know that I sound like a broken record on this part. I said, Pastor, you say this all the time. Our testimony is important. It is important. It is so damaging to teach one truth to someone, you need to do this because God's word says it, than to live another. That is damaging. I know we all can be hypocritical at times. I understand that. We're human beings. We can do that. But we must strive to have a good testimony. We must strive for that because someone we're bringing along, and then guess what? People that you have invested in you and you've trusted them, when you find out there's a hypocrisy there, it hurts. It's damaging. And depending where they're at in their journey, especially if they're at the beginning and they're immature in their faith, you can derail it completely. Well, see, Pastor, that's why I don't disciple people, because I'm too much of a liability. No, that's your cop-out. How about we just have a good testimony and pray to God and say, Lord, give me a good testimony. I don't want to slip up today. What was Paul's greatest fear? That he would become a castaway. That his testimony would be ruined. That his effectiveness would be gone. That was his greatest fear. I said, man, Apostle Paul wasn't afraid of anything. He was afraid of that. He said, I fear lest I should become a castaway. So if it's his greatest fear, man, we better pay attention to that. Like, oh, my testimony's fine. I'm all good. No, we need to be careful. But how do we mentor someone? So how do we disciple someone? Here's some simple practical ways. By especially, you know, sending them a text message, okay? Guys, don't be sending girls text messages. Have your wife do that. Probably one of the ladies in the church do that. Don't do that. So I'm just putting that disclaimer in there. Don't do that. Okay? Giving them a note. Same thing, guys. Like, you know what? I'm just going to give this lady a note of encouragement. No. No, 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 no. Because guys think, oh, that's just what we do. And girls are like, oh, he cares about me. Okay? Don't do that. All right? There's plenty of ladies in the church for that. Praising God for the opportunity to disciple someone. Instead of seeing it as a burden, see it as a blessing, responsibility. But here's the important part. Be there for them when they fail. They're going to fail. Do our children fail us? Oh, yes. Are we there for them when they fail? Yes. We're there to dry their tears and to comfort them and say, okay, forgive you. Let's build it up again. Let's keep going again. Be there for them when they fail. Be there for them when they succeed. You know, what may not be a big deal to us, like, well, we had that figured out years ago. Finally, man, they finally got it. It's a big deal to them. Rejoice with them. Doesn't the Bible say to rejoice with them that rejoice with them that are rejoicing, to weep with those that weep? It's a big deal to them. It should be a big deal to you. Be there for them no matter what. No matter what happens or where they go or what they do, be there. That's hard. That's hard, especially when they go places that are dark places. And you need to be there for them. Not to follow them into the darkness, but to be there when they're ready to step out of it. To be there when they have a need, because if they step into the darkness, there'll be a day when they need you. So don't burn those bridges. But always know, but there is a limit. All right, you're stepping to a place that I cannot go. Be there for them, no matter what. Now we have stepping stones into this area of discipleship. Now we're getting into the practical, how do we do this? But a question tonight, who are you going to disciple? Who is in your life are you going to be investing in? Who is maybe a Christian, or maybe who's lost, and they need to be saved? Who are we going to be discipling? Some of you are already doing that. Praise God. Some of you are already doing that. But if this is new to you, or perhaps you haven't done it in quite some time since you stepped into this role, can I ask you to do something tonight? Please start praying about who you can help bring along, who you can help disciple, who you can help grow in the things of God. Pray about that. God will lead you to the right person at the right time. Might be somebody inside the church. It might be somebody outside the church. Might be someone that's a complete stranger to you. It might be someone you know very well. Could be a church member. Could be a family member. Whoever it is, be willing. Say, Lord, I don't know a lot, but I know I love you, and I know you've given me this responsibility. Remember, if God gives you responsibility, he's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to give you the ability to have the answers. Man, that gives you that closer walk with God. Here it is. We live in a day with Christianity that, Christianity is all about me. No, people are depending on you. So, Pastor, I don't want to feel the burden of responsibility. Well, you have it, whether you like it or not. You have the responsibility of other people. People are looking to you. You have leadership. Well, I don't want that burden. You have it. Embrace it and say, God, help me to be worthy of the vocation where I am called. Help me be worthy of the responsibility you've given me. And he will. It's an amazing thing about God. He always answers prayer, especially in the area of James 1. We say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men stingily. Liberally, meaning you asking for information, you're asking for wisdom, he's going to give you more than you ask for. And it braideth not. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't give it to some people, not to others. Always gives wisdom right on time. So tonight, be in prayer as we come to invitation time this evening. Who are you going to disciple? Maybe God's placed someone in your life that you're already discipling. Is your testimony where it needs to be? Maybe there's some areas we need to work on tonight. Let's pray. Dear the Father, I pray your blessing tonight as we come to invitation this evening. Lord, we thank you that we can disciple other people, that we can be a testimony, that we can have that responsibility. It's humbling. But Lord, it's also exciting to see what you can do. And Lord, that you're using us, that we're being your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece, Lord, in working your works. They're using us to further your kingdom. I pray tonight that we would have a willing heart to do that, to step out into an uncomfortable place, an unknown place. Perhaps, Lord, tonight there's some that have a testimony that maybe isn't exactly where you would have it to be. All of us have changes to make, areas to grow. Maybe you've spoken to some about that tonight. I don't know, Lord, but you are speaking to your people and working in their hearts tonight. I pray that they would respond as they have a need tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.